afternoon.
Good afternoon, church. I see we are almost full. Almost. We had a long day, but we got to remember whose day is it, the Lord's day. So, again, we are back for the second portion. Those who are here, those who might not have been here, we talked about Daniel, and this afternoon we're going to continue on in that chapter. And so before getting into it, again, I'd like to thank our young, faithful Christians who hung in there, served this morning. After serving here, they went to the ordination of Brother Crusoe, got a little snack, came back, and then they're serving again. Amen. So we thank our young people for hanging in there and then doing it for the Lord, not doing it for yourselves to make yourselves look good, because you're going to look good when you serve the Lord. Amen. So we were in Daniel 6, and we're going to continue to be in Daniel 6. And I'm going to read, picking up from 24 to 28, and then I'll give you our topic, and I promise I will not keep you long. Daniel 6. And while you turn in there, just to give you a quick overview, if you might not have been here or if you didn't take notes, but we touched on the points that how Daniel was part of the government. He was one of the leaders in the government. And then we touched on the plot against Daniel and how it was initiated. And we talk about the decree that was signed that no one should pray to any other gods except the king. But Daniel, we know who Daniel prayed to. And then we talked about Daniel's faith, him knowing what was going to take place by him praying to his God. And then Daniel was preserved in the lion's den. And then we finalized this morning's piece where Daniel was found alive after that night in the lion's den. A lot of us are very familiar with the story of Daniel, but again, I want to touch on something that, again, that touched on my heart continuing in Daniel, which is so interesting. So, Daniel 6, if you all are there, we're going to start at 24. And it says, "And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they had cast him into the den of the lions. Them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then the king Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages, and dwelled in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion in my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be ever unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, whom have delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." And then verse 28, it says, So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus and Persian. I have the title this afternoon here for you, Out of the Lion's Den. Out of the Lion's Den. And so looking at verse 24. Two points I'm going to touch on. In verse 24, we're going to focus on the fate of those who plotted against Daniel. And then the second point from verse 25 to 28, I'm going to touch on Darius decrees that all must honor the God of Daniel. Looking at verse 24, the fate of those who plotted against Daniel. Again, this morning we talked about these just weren't ordinary people who plotted against Daniel. You're talking about presidents, governors, princes, and you're talking about big time people. And the king gave the commandment that they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and that they cast them into the den of lions. Not only them, but their children, their wives. So the execution was laid out not just for those men, but for the generations for them to come. Amen. And we read in verse 4 what the lions have actually done to them before they even hit the bottom of the den. I just want to focus on the faith of those who plot against you, because Daniel went through a traumatic situation. And when we go through a traumatic situation, and when someone plots against you, I talked a little bit earlier, we want revenge. We want to take care of the individual or individuals that done wrong against us. And when we ended this morning, when Daniel came out of the lion's den, he wasn't thinking about revenge. He was thinking about giving glory to God. And then we see here, God steps in and take care of those who do wrong against him. Even Darius the king knew that they done wrong, and he then made that command that they should be put into the lion's den. Again, looking at the situation where Daniel, again, remember, he still had power. Those he were next to were thrown in the den. But again, Darius had a responsibility when he signed that decree. He could not go back. So what he did was fulfill by those who do wrong against the true God. This was so obvious, but it was also according to the ancient customs among Persians. An ancient writer wrote of the Persians, "The law among them are formidable, by which, on account of guilt of one, all are kindred to perish." Darius was not happy with these men. He probably would have cast these accusers to the lions even if Daniel had perished to the lions. The lions overpowered them, and they forever came to the bottom of the den. This proved that was genuinely a horrific protection to save Daniel. It proves there is no natural reason why the lions did not eat Daniel. Daniel's accusers perished in the same trap they set for Daniel. This illustrates the work of the cross in reverse. The guilty were punished in the place of the innocent. This also illustrates the principle of the spiritual warfare. God will cause our enemy to be impaled on the same snare set for us. Psalm 7:14-16. When we look at verses 25 to 28, starting at 25, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations and languages, and dwelt in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my people, men tremble and fear before God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall ever unto the end. When you hear Darius speak, he sounds like he's a Christian. He sounds like he's a warrior, because what he witnessed of what Daniel stand for. Then King Darius wrote to all of these people, and you notice he wrote to all of the nations, and then he also wrote in their language. He did not want to miss anyone. Then it says that dwell on all the earth. He's basically talking about the planet itself, that this God that Daniel served is the one and only true God. He says, peace be multiplied to you. And then he makes the right decree. The decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the ever-living God. This is great because now Daniel doesn't have to speak any longer. Darius is speaking for Daniel based on what Daniel have done by praising God. So this Daniel prospered and reigned to Darius and reigned in Persia. So now you have Darius speaking on behalf of Daniel. He puts these individuals, not individuals, but you're looking at the whole world now. He has them on, which I would say, standby. If you're going to praise God, you got to pray to praise the true God, which the true and living God that Daniel prays to. Now, he didn't write a decree and sign for people to understand that. He spoke that and got the message to everyone. Now, he also talked about not only on earth, but then he says the God in heaven who has delivered Daniel from the lion's den. We have it's interesting when I look at this here, because in the beginning of Daniel, you have King Nebuchadnezzar. And I'm sure you heard of that story with the three young boys, which was Daniel's buddies. And this happened a few chapters prior to this, where you had Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Almost in the same situation where they were put in the furnace. And when they were put in the furnace, they were not burned or touched. But those who put him in were scorched and burned. Then you come a little chapters down to 6, and we see Daniel in a situation, but Darius, the king, fulfills what Daniel's God was truly about. I always think about when I'm reading, and this is what got me, because Darius came in after King Nebuchadnezzar. Wouldn't you think there was something written by King Nebuchadnezzar to say this has happened, so when Darius was king, he would have enough sense to know that nothing was going to happen to Daniel? I would think that. But that's why God is so good. He gives us the scriptures when you have this story here that Daniel goes through. See, Daniel boldly told Nebuchadnezzar the truth, and the king humbled himself and gave the glory to God. Daniel stood firm and boldly to Belshazzar the truth, and the king honored Daniel. The point is plain. We stand firm on the godly convictions and honor God, even when it costs something. Others will see the testimony and be impressed. The God of Daniel, in a small way, this helps us diagnose Darius' spiritual condition. It isn't enough to Darius to truly understand. But what we do know is that Daniel prospered. And Daniel prospered in many ways. His prosper is a link of long chains. I don't know if you're taking notes, but one is, we talked about earlier, he prospered through the plot that was against him. He wasn't worried about, but he prospered through the plot against him. I know I had asked the children when we was going to the Hopewell what they get out of the lesson. And one of them said praying. Praying was one that Daniel prospered. But it just wasn't praying. It was praising. Amen. Daniel praised God through this whole ordeal. And then Daniel was persistent serving the Lord. He did not change. He stayed on task. Then he was persecuted. We look at persecution as something negative, but that's the test that God puts before each and every one of us. And I want our young people to understand that God puts tests there. You may think you're being persecuted in a bad way, but he's putting a test there for you to overcome. He wants you to rely. He wants you to focus on him when you're going through that. And then God protects us. He prospers us through his protection. We see that greatly, where when we're in need or something goes wrong, we are protected. And then God preserves us. We could go into a situation, just like you see here at Daniel, and come out unscarred, untouched. You look good as you did when you went in and when you came out. And then he prospers us. So Daniel's prosper is one of the greatest blessings to come out of Daniel 6. It's to see the story unfold in the point to what Jesus went through. A man without blame, faithful to God in all his ways, a man noted for prayer, was sent to his death because of jealousy to those who wanted to prevent his exaltation. He was condemned to death by plotting his enemies and the law of the land, and was thrown into a stone room meant to be his tomb. That's what happened to our Jesus. But he raised out of the grave. Amen. Just as Daniel raised out of the lion's den. There's no greater story that happened on earth. That is true, that is. Amen. Jesus demonstrated the greatness in serving him. By him serving the Father, we should do the same. And he will get us through any trials, any tribulations. All we just have to do is focus on him, praise him, and give him all of the glory. Amen. So our young people, I just sit here while we have a story of Daniel. And I always say, stay focused on God, because our young people are not focused as they need to be. We're going to continue to encourage them, continue to shape and mold them, because the lion's den is out there. Amen. So, if you haven't been living your life according to Jesus, and you want to get through the lion's den, I ask that you come down and then you get your life right with him. If you're not a Christian, God is so good, you could be put on Christ today by following God's plan of salvation. The five steps in the plan of salvation, one is hearing his word, John 6:45, and then believing in what you heard, and then repenting of your sins and confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then lastly, being baptized. And we have the water ready. The water is right there ready. There's no excuse. So being baptized, which is in Acts 2:38. Once you complete this, again, God does three things for you. He gives you the Holy Spirit. He forgives you of all your sins. And then he adds you to that church, the church of Christ, that's in the Bible. I ask that you come forward at this time as we sing the song of invitation.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling for you and for me.